Any of those that you got left, Tater, you can put in the back if you want on the table. Anybody else want one? All right. All right, Daniel chapter 1. Let's continue on in our study of Daniel. We got down through verse number 7. If you're keeping an outline, the next point is number 4, the determination of the children. The determination of the children. This is verse number 8. And then we're going to do number 5, the desire of Daniel. Verses 9 through 13, the desire of Daniel. So let's go ahead and finish reading the first chapter. Let's start with verse number 8. We've only got, let's go ahead and do 8 through 13. 8 through 14. So George, you got 8 through 14, and then 15 through 21. Who will do, take those? 15, 21. Ms. Sherry? All right. Go ahead, George.
You said 8 through 14?
Yeah.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse, like liking that the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azrael, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days.
And at the end of 10 days, there come to Moses, appeared fairer and fatter and flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these poor children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king required of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus.
All right, thank you both. The determination of the children, verse number 8, and it tells us of Daniel's faithfulness. And I want to bring up again how important it is. Remember, by the way, that Daniel and his three friends were teenagers, 15, 16, maybe 17 years old. And what I really love about Daniel and his friends was the fact that they exercised what I call positive peer pressure. We hear a lot about negative peer pressure, how young people, and it's true with adults as well, but young people especially, will follow often the wrong crowd. Why does that happen? Peer pressure. Not wanting to stand out as different, even though standing out as different can be a good thing if we stand out as a child of God and demonstrate the reality of Christ in our lives. So I always, whenever I spoke to young people, I used to speak at camp quite a bit, Camp DeHiglo, and I used to bring out to the teenagers, be a positive role model. Exercise positive peer pressure. Don't give in to those that you know are doing wrong And then you want to fit in, so you do wrong because the end, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Because there's a principle in the Word of God called we reap what we sow, right? So we want to reap right. We want to sow righteousness. And if we do that, we will reap blessing. Now, I don't know about you. I'd rather be blessed than cursed. I'd rather have God on my side and working through me rather than having to spank me spiritually. Instead of working through me, he works on me. That's not a pleasant thing. When God has to work on us, that's not pleasant. We want God to work through us and use us for his glory. Well, that's kind of young man that Daniel was, probably my most admired character in the Old Testament, even more than Moses. I really admire this young man, Daniel, who remained faithful and committed throughout his entire life into the reign of Cyrus after the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. He was still active. He was in his 80s. And God blessed him, and God promoted him, and God used him. He went through some very difficult times. I don't know about you. I wouldn't look forward to being in a lion's den with hungry lions. But it was no problem for Daniel because he trusted God, and God allowed him to use those lions as a very comfortable pillow. So he was fine. Daniel refused to disobey God's word. Verse number 8 is one of my favorites in the whole book. But Daniel purposed. The word can be translated set, determined, made up his mind. He was resolved. There was no compromise in the heart and mind of Daniel. He said, I will not eat those pork chops. Now, you know how hard that would be to have a big platter of pork chops in front of you and you're not going to eat them? Jews couldn't eat pork chops, could they? Nor would they eat any meat that had been offered to idols. And the Babylonians, like all of the pagans, had many gods. Daniel said, I will not eat that. I'm not going to do it. Now, he could very well. He was hundreds of miles away from home. His parents weren't around. He could have ate whatever he wanted. He could have done whatever he wanted. He had freedom to do whatever. He was away from home. He was dreaming of the day that he could be away from home, but not this way, carried away captive by Babylon. And also, the king had the finest wine you could find. And so the king set the very best before these young men. He wanted them to really be helpful to him. And they were the best of the best. So he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, the commander of the officials, Ashpenaz was his name. Daniel said, I don't want to defile myself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor. Daniel conducted himself in a way that drew people to himself. He wasn't obstinate about it. He wasn't being ignorant about it. He wasn't mouthy about it. He didn't try to act like he was above anybody else. He said he knew how to handle, as a young, this is what's amazing to me, as a teenager. He knew how to conduct himself. He was well taught. He had good parents. He really did. He had to have. So he became very friendly with the eunuchs, those that were teaching him and training him. God brought Daniel into favor and tender love. Some translations have a loving kindness and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs. So they honored him because he was a decent young man. So that teaches us all that there is a right way to take a stand, right? There's a right way to take a stand. There's a wrong way to take a stand. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be obnoxious. We don't have to beat people up over the head with the Bible. There's a way to handle ourselves that will honor God. Remember what the Bible says. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As it's up to us, whatever we can do, not compromise, not condone sin, not go along with it, not tolerate it, but to conduct ourselves like Christ did. He is our model. And then after him, the apostles. So the commander of the officials, the prince of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz said, I don't know about this. Because Daniel said, hey, how about if we eat something other than this meat of the king and the wine? He said, nah, I fear my lord the king. He's the one that appointed your food and your drink, your meat and drink. Why should he see your faces worse liking? He said, if you don't eat this good food, you're going to look kind of skinny. You're going to get pale. You're not going to look healthy. And it's going to cost me my head. And I don't do well without my head. I need that. He said, the last part of verse 10, he said, you're going to make me endanger my head to the king. Remember, this is number 5, the desire of Daniel, verses 9 through 13. Keep in mind that when Daniel was turned down by Ashpenaz, he didn't give up. Don't you think sometimes we give up too soon? Something is difficult, so we back away, thinking, "Well, I tried." You can think about a lot of things that we do. Maybe we're trying to win someone to Christ. We try one time, and we say, "Well, I tried. I did what God wanted me to do," and we give up. Rather than keep praying, and anytime we have an opportunity to give a verse or two or whatever, or an invite to church, we back away saying, "Well, I tried. I don't want to get he or she mad at me, so I'm going to back away. I'd rather have somebody mad at me if they end up in hell, mad because they didn't listen, rather than mad because I didn't tell them." What about you? And Daniel said to Melzar, Melzar can be translated steward. Some say it's a name, some say it's the title steward. He was an overseer whom the prince of the eunuchs, the commander of the officials, had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, how about this? I got an idea. Daniel said, prove or test thy servants, I beseech thee. Just give us 10 days. Now, it's pretty obvious that Daniel was a young man of faith. Because generally, I mean, if you eat what they're talking about eating, I don't know about you. I know there are a lot of vegetarians, and that's fine. But it's a little harder to get the proper protein. You got to really know what you're doing if you're a vegetarian in order to get what you need, right? Would you agree with that? God intended for us to eat meat. There's a lot of benefits to meat, and finally, science is catching up with truth. Science is supposed to be truthful, right? And they're finding out that meat in moderation, good lean meat, is good. It's good for us. We need that protein. We need what is in meat. So I highly recommend a couple of chunks of beef a week. Keep yourself up. When I talk to Gary's sister every week, I talk to her, she said, yeah, I got a little weak and a little dizzy. And I said, I can tell you what you need. I said, you need a chunk of meat. She said, yeah. I said, get you some liver. She likes liver. Full of vitamins and minerals. Full of. I had a big, man, a couple of side of beef ago, I always get the liver. And I've given a lot of it away because I can't eat all that liver. But anyway, they packaged it in too big a packs. I mean, it's just me, an elderly old man. I don't need 12 slices of liver. That might be a little overkill. What do you think? Well, it was one of the big packs. I made the whole thing. And I did divide it into two portions, which is an amazing thing. Because once I start eating it with a great big pile of onions on top, fried in butter, huh?
It did not.
It was so tender you cut it with a fork. It's a shame a lot of people don't know how to make it, so they end up growing up hating it because their mother made it like shoe leather. That's what happened to my wife until she went home with me one time. My mother made it. She loved it. and loved it till the day she died. We didn't have it like every week, but we ate it on a regular basis. Well, Daniel was going to go without meat. You talk about a sacrifice. I'm sure he still drank coffee, though. The scripture doesn't say that he did, but it said he drank water. I don't know. Water is all right if it's got coffee in it. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Give us pulse. Now, pulse in the original language, which here is Hebrew, is in the plural. So it could be talking about a variety of vegetables, but some translations have it not only vegetables, but also wheat and barley. So there could have been a combination. I lean toward the strictly vegetables, but you never know. But it does, again, remind us of the great faith of Daniel. He said, then let our countenances, our appearances, be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of those that ate the meat. And as you see, whatever it is, we look bad, then deal with it as you must. But let's try 10 days. So Melzar agreed to it. He took away the meat, took away the wine, and gave them veggies. Wow. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. God was the source of all the good things that were happening to these young men. Gave them knowledge, gave them skill, gave them insight and all learning, all understanding, gave them great intelligence and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God also was the one that gave him that ability. Keeping an outline, number 6, the deliverance of God. The deliverance of God, 14 to 21, the deliverance of God. So at the end of the 10 days, the king had said he should bring them in. And the king actually took time to question them, find out what they knew. He communed with them, he talked with them. And among all of these young men, there were none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. So they became choice servants of the king. They looked fairer and fatter, verse 15. They looked fairer and fatter. Fatter doesn't mean that they've gained a bunch of weight. Fatter, oftentimes, in the Old Testament, speaks of healthy. They were healthy. They looked good. Color was good. Weight was good. I'd say they probably didn't even have a pimple. I mean, they looked as good as you could look. Verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers, the enchanters, conjurers that were in all of his realm. I think the use of 10 times better speaks of fullness and completeness. They were as good as it gets. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. In 539 B.C., at the close of the 70-year captivity, Jeremiah prophesied about this in Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12, and also 29, verse number 10. So what did Daniel and his friends do? Well, number one, they stuck to their convictions. They didn't give in. They didn't take the easy way out. Whatever it cost them, they were willing to pay it. They didn't care. They were going to honor God no matter what. So they made up their minds. Secondly, they acted on their convictions. Verse number 8, came up with a plan. What can we do? We can't eat that meat. We can't drink that wine. What are we going to do? We got to do what's right. We got to honor God. And so God led them with the idea of a 10-day test. And So even those they acted under convictions, at first they were turned down. Number three, they worked out a solution, verses 12 and 13, and it worked out just great. God said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30, I know you all remember this since we went through 1 Samuel. Got it memorized, right? Them that honor me will I honor. What do you think of that? Psalm 119, verses 98 through 100, thou through thy commandments hast, this is, I think it's David, some say not necessarily. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. So a young man or a young woman that decides, I'm going to honor my God, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to obey the word of God, can end up more honorable and actually more intelligent than those that are much older. Remember, age is not a guarantee of wisdom, is it? I've met some older people that have no wisdom. I've met young people that have a whole lot of wisdom. It's what we do with the word of God and what we do with the God of the word, whether we honor, seek to honor him or elevate ourselves. And when we elevate ourselves, we end up in disaster. Why? Because if we're left to ourselves, we make wrong choices. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. So wicked that we can't even know the depths of the depravity of our own hearts. Daniel and his friends made wide choices. He dared to be different. He was blessed because he would not compromise. He did not follow the crowd. He followed God. There's a hymn about Daniel. This is the chorus. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Questions? One down, 11 to go. All right, chapter 2. Let me see what that handout is. Chapter 2. Let's go ahead and pass this one out, George. This is a comparison of the images of Daniel chapter 2 and 3. You might as well get it now. All right, chapter 2. Let's 1 through 6. We'll take those. 1 through 6. 1 through 6. Scotty? Becca, you take 7 through 12, okay? All right, Scotty, go ahead.
And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, but to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof.
They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon.
All right, thank you both. All right, under this chapter, this is number one, Prophecies of Daniel, and this will get us through chapter 12. 2 through 12, that's the rest of the book. And then underneath that letter A, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was intimidating. And I have a very detailed outline. I don't know if I should give you all this because I had a tendency back in the day to outline as much as I could. And I don't do that anymore because it gets tedious. I don't like tedious. Do you? Kathy, you like tedious?
Don't
you don't care?
No.
You're very flexible, aren't you?
Depends.
All right. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was intimidating. In the first verse, we find Nebuchadnezzar's troubled sleep. Nebuchadnezzar's troubled sleep. He had a dream, and it was a scary dream. And he didn't know what to make of it. It actually woke him up out of a dead sleep. Now, as you read through this, it becomes apparent, at least to me, that he knew exactly what he had dreamed. He did not forget the dream. He was testing his officials. Now, I know you say, well, wait a minute. It says, let's see, where was that? The thing is gone from me. Yeah, I know he said that. But he knew. He didn't want, listen. He had all these officials around him that supposedly had all these abilities, and he had to know. He was a very smart man. He knew that, listen, if you tell the dream, they can make up anything, right? I mean, come on. Well, it means, you know, the world is flat, and, you know, I mean, they could say anything. So he said, no, this is too big a deal. I'm not, there's no way that I'm going to listen to a bunch of nonsense. So he insisted, you tell me what I dreamed. And if you can tell me what I dreamed, you can probably tell me what it means, right? So number one, Nebuchadnezzar's troubled sleep. Number two, Nebuchadnezzar's team is called. He called the magicians. They were the writers of sacred writings. He called the astrologers, the enchanters, and those that were conjurers. It's all superstitious stuff. All of this is anti-scripture. We're not to be involved in any of this stuff. Please do not, even if you say it's for fun, I've said this often in the past. I haven't said it for a long time, so let me repeat it. Do not consult what I call the horrible scope. Oh, it's only in fun. I don't really believe it. God said, don't fool with it. All that stuff is satanic. Do not fool with any of that stuff. Witchcraft, astrology, all that kind of stuff. I don't look up Pisces and see my, you know, the what today is all about. You know what I'm saying? That's just, you're playing in the hands of the evil one. The sorcerers would cut and prepare potions and sacred animals. The Chaldeans were a special class of wise men. They were advisors to the king, and possibly they were priests. And so he calls them all in, all the experts. You know, like they did over COVID, called in all the experts. You know, Dr. Fauci said, I am science. No, you are an idiot. I got an idea. Can't do it here. Let's go to China. They love us there in China. We'll go to a lab in China. And we'll try to make something that does not affect humans into something that does. And maybe it'll be deadly. And maybe it'll spread around the world and kill millions of people and destroy the economy. And, oh, this would be great. And I'll get rich. And he did. He got rich and he got away with it. Be careful when someone, and I hear it all the time on various podcasts and news reports, they call in the experts, and my ears go shut. Experts. Yes, sir.
I had a manager a long time ago. He's a division manager where I worked, and we had meetings, and somebody brought that up. Well, we need to call an expert in. Do you not want to know what an expert is? An X is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. They never mentioned expert again.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the experts. Yes, sir. Which leads us to number three, Nebuchadnezzar's turmoil revealed. Nebuchadnezzar's turmoil, verses 3 and 4. King said, I've dreamed a dream. My spirit was troubled to know the dream. And spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. Syriac is a form of Aramaic. From here to the end of chapter 7, Daniel wrote in Aramaic. And you say, well, why? Well, many of the nations used Aramaic. Babylon did, Persians did, several countries used Aramaic because they did a lot of trading among themselves. So this portion from 2 to 7 talks a lot about foreign nations. And so God had Daniel write it in Aramaic. And then after chapter 8 through 12 is back to Hebrew, in case you're interested. Am I getting too far in the weeds here? Okay. Because the weeds are growing now. It's spring. Okay. All right. So he calls all the experts, and he was testing them. He said, if you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you're going to be cut in pieces, literally torn limb from limb. That could be painful. That would definitely leave a permanent mark. And your houses shall be made a dunghill or a rubbish heap, as some translations have it. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you're going to get a lot of gifts. Be like Christmas. Rewards and great honor, therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And that's where the outline starts getting very tedious. I'm going to... Let me skip ahead. A is Nebuchadnezzar's dream was intimidating. Well, no, because that's where we're going to end. So let me put a mark here. I gave you enough to thoroughly confuse you at this point. So the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time. What he's literally saying, you're trying to buy time. You're stalling. I know you guys. Experts. Yeah. You're stalling. Because you see the thing is gone from me, which again, he's testing him. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. This is where I said, you know what? He didn't forget. He said, you're preparing lying and corrupt words because you don't have a clue what my dream was. You're just going to make stuff up. I know you guys. I worked with you before. You're not fooling me. But if you tell me the dream, I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth. And I put a little note in the margin of my Bible, but there is a God in heaven. Huh? There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires. This is a difficult thing. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Isn't that something? They admitted that their God could not be contacted. They did not have any kind of relationship with him. Their gods were useless. And they were, weren't they? They couldn't inquire of their gods and get any answers. There's but one God, the God of heaven, Yahweh. All right. I'm not going to do 12 because I accidentally told Becca to read through 12 and it was supposed to be 11. And I thought about stopping her, but then she would have said something mean to me.
I'd have read it anyway.
And she'd have hurt my feelings, and then I don't know if I could have made it through the day. Questions, comments? Don't you love Daniel? Isn't this great? I love Daniel. Oh, it's and it gets better and better. And I got a surprise for you. I got a guest speaker coming in. When we get to chapter 7, there's a man in our church that refers often to Daniel 7. And so I thought, you know what? People get sick of hearing me all the time. And so I asked Bill, I said, Bill, you're an expert on chapter 7. I said, you get ready, because you're going to do chapter 7. So when we get to chapter 7, Billy's taking over. He's got it all down. Hi there. Hi.
There goes your job.
I know, that's, you know, there's a little fear there. I'm a little apprehensive.
Taking a
chance. I know.
I've sat under him many a time.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I... Actually, no, really. The reason I wanted to do it is I want to learn something. All right. And I'll still give you my hand. I think I have a handout for chapter 7. You can do a comparison. It's not that detailed. All right. Pray for our church. Pray God will bless it. And God will give the increase. God will build a church here. You know, time is running out, not because I'm getting old and going to die, because there'd always be somebody to take my place, but because the Lord's coming back soon. Man, things are lining up. I mean, they are lining up. There's going to be a big battle between the East and the West, and it's kind of taking shape, is it not? I'm not going to set a date. I don't have that authority, but it's getting close. Be ready. Be ready. Don't get too in love with this world. We're not going to be here long. I mean, don't quit your job or anything. I'm not telling you to move to a mountain or anything. Some of you already live on a mountain. Pray for our nation. Pray for Iran, Israel, Ukraine, Venezuela, and many other nations. Pray for our troops. We're talking about putting some in that little island over there because that's the big deal, that energy island there with all the oil and everything is. Pray for law enforcement and ICE. Now ICE is at the airports because our far-left radical Marxist liberal freaks are blocking everything as usual. They have no ideas whatsoever, but they're good at blocking. They should play football. Huh? Man, they could make quite a team. Except most of them are 100 years old, so that wouldn't work. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Hope House here in town. God will bless. If you want to stop by, you could, and say, hey, I'm from New Vision Baptist. We support you every month, and just want to stop by, see how things are going. Is there anything that I can let the pastor know you need? Because, you know, they need supplies all the time. Pray for Mark and Rhonda. Pray for Bill, his blood pressure and kidneys, and the fact that his next birthday he'll be 80 years old. Pray for all that. All of it. Pray for Ronnie. Pray for Gary's sister, Darlene. Gary and Kathy are leaving on Friday. They're flying down to see her for a couple weeks, which I think is awesome. And I really, really, I asked her if I could come, and she said I could. She did. She said I could. Me and Kathy'd have a great, oh, no, we'd have a great time. You got, oh, man. But I'm not going.
I know she wants her toenails cut, so you could do that.
Hey, I'm good with toenails. I except it's hard for me to bend over and do my own. It's very hard. But I do get it done. I'm out of breath by the time I'm finished, but I can do it. John McClintock is in the hospital. That's the one that had all the issues about a year ago. That's Fred and Annandale's son, John. He's down in Winchester. Pray for John.
Brian's
Why did I put John? Oh, that's the family of John. John passed away. I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. The family of John, I am really getting old. John was Fred's brother. He passed away this past week. And so pray for the family. Brian is in the hospital in Winchester, and he's the one that had the heart issues, and he was, of course, at Inova. Thankfully, he's doing well. I did not contact Annandale this morning, but as of yesterday evening. Did you hear anything today?
He's at an ICU. He's in a regular room.
Excellent. Remember, all of his problems stem from an infection. He started running a fever. And so they still don't know, do they? But everything checked out as far as the heart. He did a CAT scan and different tests. So far, everything's checking out. But they're trying to figure out why he had that fever. Now, he did not have a fever last day or two. June Alexander had her surgery on the 9th, and last I heard from Annandale, she is doing well. As I mentioned, Gary and Kathy leaving Friday. Pray for their safety. Kathy loves to fly.
I hate her.
I used to, when I was younger, I loved to fly, but now I'm older, my arms get so tired. Yes.
The Lord has put something on my mind since we've got some young people coming in and we're talking about the evil things that are right there.
Mm-hmm.
I had an experience once, I told you about it, and I kind of Lord said, put it out there. When I was in college, there was a Ouija board down in the creation place. So I and a couple of girls were down there messing with it one night. And we were asking questions, we were giving us answers, and I decided, I'm going to ask it who its leader is. My hands were on that pointer, my hands only, and that thing went S-A-T-A-N. So I never touched it again.
Everybody hear that?
If you ever get
Ouija boards are not a game.
Don't touch.
We're talking about satanic stuff. Stay away from all that, the occult and all those different things. It's very, very, very dangerous. That's why God forbids it. You think God forbids it because it's good for us? You don't want to dabble in the occult. That's a big, big mistake.
And that young boy that went over there to be with his friends there in Spain, Japan, or wherever it was, somewhere in Spain,
And he's no longer with us. Yeah, all it takes is one time. All it takes is one time. And also, Riley Knotts, it's a friend of Rebecca from out west, had a serious farm accident. I mean, really got. He's got broken ribs, he had punctured lungs, stomach issues. The piece of equipment backed up against him, broke his legs, crushed his ribs. He's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go. So pray for Riley Knotts. All right, let's stand together for prayer. Ask God to intervene for us. Father, thank you that you're on the throne this morning. As we see things disintegrate around us, we know that you are in control. Everything that happens, you allow to happen. You may not be the author of it all because you're never the source of evil. But Father, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are over the history of man and all that goes on. So Lord, we rest in your care. We trust in your wisdom. And we ask, Lord Jesus, even so come quickly. I pray, Father, for these that we called out to you that have physical needs. You are the great physician. You are the only one that can heal. You may use a doctor or a nurse. You may use medication, but ultimately, if one is going to be healed, it's got to be you that does the healing. So we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give Darlene good days as well. I don't think I mentioned Darlene. I pray that you would that you'd heal her body if that would glorify you. We think of Mark. We know that you could heal him. And we pray, Father, that soon Brian will be out of the hospital, that if there is an issue, they'll find it. And, Lord, we pray again for healing for him. Protect Gary and Kathy as they fly down to Florida. Give them a good time, a safe time with his sister, Darlene. We ask, Lord, that you heal Riley Knotts from all these serious injuries. And, Lord, we ask that you would bless our church. Lord, please build a great work here for your glory. Reach many with the gospel of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would spare our nation, that you would save America, that you'd still the mouths of those far-left radicals that seek to destroy and fight every step of the way rather than try to make America better and greater than ever. Lord, there are some that fight and desire to divide and desire for our nation to fall. Lord, defeat them. We pray that you give our president and leaders wisdom. And God, I pray that most of all you be glorified. Bless now the coming hours. We again look into your word. May you be pleased with what's said. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.